This is a quick update for the Book of Acts training course. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. Good to see you. Well, good to talk with you. Keep everything in prayer. Keep it prayed up every day. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. His presence unceasing, unbroken, right now, immediate. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this is just a quick overview or checkup or update audio as we get prepared to go into the entire Book of Acts. What an incredible this history. Well, it's more than history. I think it's it spans the past, the present, and the future because of the living Christ and the mission that we have in Christ, and that's a great thing. So today the checkup is this: we looked over the last set of audios, shaping history, Ephesians 3:20. That's got to be something on our minds the entire way through, that waiting in prayer for the promise of the Father, the Spirit of God, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. And what an incredible fulfillment. Look how big, look how massive, look how engaging the day of Pentecost was, as it was set up and prepared by God in the initiating, in a sense, and launching the church in power, as he said. Now, we look at Ephesians 3:20, now unto him, now unto God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or imagine. So, now again, that's according to the power that's at work within us, and that's the Spirit of God in us dwelling in the promises before us. So, we must begin to think in terms of the hundreds that you personally will lead to Jesus, and the people you're going to pray for, and the way God is going to lead. And that happens as we know the Word of God well, but launch out into actual, I like to say, boots on the ground. When you're on the field of human history, whether that's down at the local 7-Eleven or on the streets or visiting the prison or visiting a hospital or wherever it may be, you're the carrier of the living Christ, a carrier of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. You are the carrier in the sense of the promises. And so we go forth and we go to pray for healing. We go to minister to individuals, and we go with incredible leading. You hear me say all the way through this that God leads the active. Whether you're on the field, and we're going to read this in Acts 8 where Philip is guided, the Spirit of God says, go over there and stand next to that guy. Go over there and give specifics, and he was able to quote that. Now, we also see Peter in prayer and waiting, and he gets God interrupts with a day vision and shows him. And then the guys that show up at the door coming from Cornelius's house. So God is working on the one hand in Cornelius's household, and to bring them the gospel. They were already yielded to God with the knowledge they had, but they needed to hear the gospel. And so God is moving and sending people there to go find Peter. Think in terms of there are those out there seeking, those out there that want. There's those that want somehow to get to God, but they don't know how for sure. Maybe they never heard the gospel and have been called to repent and believe. Well, on the one side, we think in terms of God leading us out and in special ways. I take it three ways. One, we're called to go and bring the gospel to every single human being. So I'm just, that's the commitment. That's the idea. There's every single person. And the goal, the effort, the marking down of that, and we'll talk about strategies of, we're going to give you a project later on to visit 1,000 households. And down the road, we'll give you a number of projects of how to and who to go to. And a lot of that will be coming out of your page 257 on the listing of all the names of individuals, family, and everybody that's lost. Keep adding to that. So that leading comes mainly to those who are active in the prayer and the seeking and doing it. And so when you're very active, many people, let's look at it three ways. I do believe, like we read in 1 Corinthians, there are carnal believers that have just, they're kind of in the flesh and they seem more like the world, and they're really crippled spiritually. They can't do a lot. then there are believers, and they really have been discipled in, and they love the Word. You get in, you love the Word, you're studying the Word, but it doesn't go any further than that sometimes. I mean, if you're really studying it, ultimately, it's telling us, step out. It's telling us, it's commanding us. So it really comes down to how we approach the Word, not just for knowledge, but for the commands, the instructions to do. So we're launched no differently than Matthew 28, the Great Commission, which you'll get an audio on that in this segment of audios this week. So when you think in terms of the call, we're just simply called to go to every single human being, every creature. Mark 16, and you look at that commission, preach this gospel, this good news, this astounding and brilliant and powerful salvation news to every single human being, every creature. So that's just automatic. We're going to go to everybody. God wants everybody. The gospel will engage everybody. We read it in Timothy 2. He's not willing. He's willing that all, you know, the pass on through pass is the words. And this, the prayers for all the lost is good and pleases God, who wills, desires all humanity. Pass on through pass is a reference to everyone, all humanity, men, women, children, that all would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants. And we go back to Peter chapter 3, not willing that anybody should perish. So that's the intent. We got to know that. We got to know John 3:16. God so loved the world, lost, fallen, broken, sinful world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17, John's Gospel 3:17. Jesus wasn't sent to condemn the world. He was sent to save the world. And that's important. So we're going out, you know, lit up with the living, powerful, in the gospel is the power of God is just flowing and burning through. And, you know, you think in terms of the gospel on fire from heaven. And when you're taking that gospel to somebody, not only is the word of God, the gospel itself, faith comes from hearing it, and the Spirit of God operates always in the context of that, God's going to encounter people. You could be sure that in everyone you meet, everyone you seek to unleash the gospel, and you might not feel anything at first. You might not, you know, you might even have people that have look at you weird or you know, you're bugging them. They look at you, you know, like, you're bugging me, go away. But you go to share, and however God opens that door and helps you to do that, you'll learn to do that easier and easier along the way. And we'll talk about that, asking questions that open the door, praying and getting a word from God, and then going to say, hey, I know you don't know me, but I was praying over there, and I was praying for you, and God said this to my heart about you. And then you open up that way and minister to somebody. And then whatever you're doing, whether you're feeding them, helping them, a beeline to the gospel, you know, right there, that's where you want to go, because they can't get saved without it. That's how God operates in power. And you'll experience God doing that. And so he's not here to condemn them. He's here to save them. That's what he wants, and that's what we want. And obviously your family and people around you, we all know that. That's what we want. But nobody wants it more than God does himself. You got to understand that. See Jesus outside of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how often I would have. Or we can read in 2 Thessalonians where the Spirit of God shows us that people perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. They could have been. God wants them to be saved. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but they. So when somebody rejects the work of the Spirit of God, rejects the gospel, when they put their foot down and resist the Spirit of God, like we're going to read about in the book of Acts, that clearly that's on their head. But notice what's happening. They're resisting an active approach, the very literal presence of God pouring out of the gospel and out of your life, by the way, and they're engaging them and calling them home to salvation, which God wills, God desires, and God wants. And God will save. So faith comes from hearing. So when they hear that gospel and you're pouring things out, they're going to be able to. Well, that's the issue, though. They, you know, they if they don't respond right then, and when somebody doesn't respond right away, I don't write them off. I prayed 23 years for my father to get saved. There were friends of mine that got saved right away. There are people, the first time I share the gospel, they get saved right away. My grandmother, at almost, well, she was 79. First time I took the gospel to her and unleashed that gospel to her, she got saved that day. And she knew it. And we talked about it the next year. But she also, that 1 year later, she passed away. I was there when she went and left that body and went to be with the Lord, absent from the body. So what a glorious thing, and I know I'll see her again. That's the indestructible hope that we have in Jesus. So think in terms of going to everybody. Then in the context of going to everybody, here's what we see. God leads in special ways. He might even, we're going to see this in the book of Acts, where he stops you from going over here, like Paul and the team, Bithynia, and he stops them. The Spirit of God stops him from going a certain direction. It wasn't stopping them from preaching the gospel or ministering. It was stopping him from going, you know, to a certain direction. And instead, during the night, that's when he got the vision, the call from Macedonia to come over there. So God knows where there's even great opportunity and where he wants to bring you. He knows how to set it all up. And but that falling into that providence where God is opening the door and opening it wide and willing to save and setting up. Look how the day of Pentecost was. I mean, how much more? I mean, the signs, the sound of the wind, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel and the believers in prayer and the, 2 million estimate up to 2 million in the area. And God just comes with the explosive revelation of fulfillment of prophecy. And what does Peter do in Acts chapter 2? Well, he stands up in the vast crowd. In that one singular message, thousands get saved. And then it goes on from there. So what an incredible breaking in. That's what God is doing, whether it's individual, whether God leads us to, oh, I'll tell you about the, we took a few team members, and there was a report in Indiana about a demonized house, demonized kids. Some call it a ghost house, and national news, national story. I felt led. Got team members, and we drove there 6 hours. Got there. Got on the streets in a snowing evening, and there were, I don't know, 20 people out there just mulling around, wanting to see if there's anything demonic going to happen, anything supernatural going to happen at that house. They had a police car, kept people away from going to the, up to the door. Well, we just kind of opened up and started witnessing to everybody and praying with people. And another car showed up with a couple of guys, and they wanted to know what was going on. And we told them, well, God sent us here from Ohio, and we're here to share Christ. One was backslidden, one wasn't saved, both of them yielding everything to Jesus. It was an incredible night where God set that up. So there's special leading, and we'll talk about that later on. How, you know, when you're going out to pray, is there somewhere specific? Maybe God leads someone on your, puts somebody in your heart to go, and that's great. Other than that, the gospel is the power of God everywhere, to everyone, all the time, alive. So I'm going to say again, the gospel is on fire with the presence and power and call and draw and the very heart of God, and we unleash that. And it breaks through the sin, the darkness, and all the rest of it, and we watch as that powerful word breaks in, and God breaks in, and then, you know, in hearing and answering questions and unleashing and calling them so to come to Christ right then and there, right then and there. You're not going to see in the book of Acts where they unleash the gospel in a powerful way and they say, come back, you know, a month from now, and we'll talk more. No, they're constantly giving the invitation, because the gospel is the power of God unto that salvation. So, and the good news is we can believe that from the word and step up and go. But when you're out there doing it again and again and again and seeing the power of God and the work of the Spirit of God and people getting saved on the spot, well, there's nothing more that I think sometimes that builds your faith. And that's, you know, I could talk about the girl on the bridge. And what I'm going to do when we're going through the book of Acts, You're going to find out that I put one, probably a 15-minute story to every single chapter. I'll have at least 28, maybe more stories, but I'm going to put a story of an engagement of the gospel in every one of these. As we start Acts chapter 1, you'll also have, you'll probably have like, for every chapter, there's going to be anywhere from 3 to 5 audio MP3s. And then in every one of those series, I'll have a separate MP3 audio that just tells you a story of an encounter salvation-wise. And that's what it's all about. That's the center. That's why we read the Spirit of God in Timothy chapter 2, instructions to the church, first of all, and urgency, all the prayers, intercession, supplication, all of that for the lost. And, well, you'll see the next audio, the subnormal and the normal church. It's a vast difference. There really is. So as we look at this, number one, everybody the gospel. Number two, there are special leadings, and they're sometimes very powerful and astounding. And you know, the one time I was led to go share the gospel at a Youth for Christ meeting where, you know, most of the kids weren't saved yet. And half of the individuals that night got saved. Out of like almost 45 kids that were there that home for a meeting, so God will open doors if you're the ready witness, if you're the ready soul winner, if you're the ready if you're ready to do that. So when I put back up there's an audio that audio 13, your testimony to testify. So I want to tell you that even that, as you're sitting at the laundromat, sitting in the doctor's office, talking to the neighbor, talking to a relative, a brother or sister even, and just, you know, there might be those that ask, you know, what you're into, and you testify to Jesus. Whether, like my wife, you got saved when you're 5, or like me, living that crazy, deep, dark, sinful life and get saved at 19, plucked out then, either way, you've got testimony. Jesus in your life, what does he mean to you? Savior and Lord, how precious, how important. This is God. So to testify about Jesus and what he is in your life and the salvation you have and what he does in your life, that's vital. So let's think in terms of the special leadings, but I'm going to say then there's the third thing is teams. I mean, purposely going out, you take teams, you go and you plot evangelistic events. We're gonna set all that out, and during this it's going to probably be 12 months of this, 1 year in this Bible school. I believe in the first 3 months, your life's going to change, and it's just going to expand. Because why? You are God's workmanship. You are created, designed in Christ Jesus for this. And everything God has in his word and by the Spirit of God, by his literal presence in you and the mission, well, anyone who receives the word and lets the word of Christ dwell in them richly, Colossians 3:16, right? Then launches out, then you're in the works, the word and the works. So you're going to see in Acts chapter 1, all that Jesus began to teach, the word, and do the works. Word of God and the works of Jesus are inseparable. And if some believers are carnal and crippled, they got to be engaged with revival. They got to get into the book of James. And you got backslidden friends around you, get them in the book of James and pray for them and help pluck them out of that and get them to the joy of the Lord and where they need to be. And then you've got believers that are in the Word, they're going to church, they're doing a few things, but we're not called just to read and sit in a church on Sunday. We're not called to be spectators. That Word of God, if we're believing it, launches us into doing it. Then we're doing the works of Jesus as designed by God. So whether you look at John 15, chosen in Christ to bear that fruit, or you look at second chapter of Ephesians 2:10, that you are his workmanship, construction, and you are created and designed in Jesus to do those good works which God prepared in advance. It's all done. It's all the instructions. We don't, as leaders in churches, we don't have to sit around and say, what are we going to do? The Great Commission spells it out as the forefront. And when you see churches, that's not the forefront, that's not the life center in a sense. When they lose the mission, well, Sardis. It's exactly what occurred with Sardis, the church in Sardis. And they were maybe once alive, maybe individual believer once alive, but becomes dead when the works of Jesus stop. It's when it becomes dead. It's not the emotion. It's not how loud. It's when the works of Jesus, because that's the operating power. When word is moved into action and the operating power, saving and healing and delivering and the leading and the prayer answers and God shaking and doing more and more and more along the way. So just checking in on you on this update. Don't forget page 257 and keep praying that God's going to put every lost person, wherever you know, take again 5 minutes this week, write down everybody else. Now you need to begin to pray for all of them. You might not act right away, but and then again, maybe the Lord puts something in your heart. But if you got 5 or 25 names down, I'm sure in 3 months' time you're going to have 25 or 30 names, and I would encourage you to get the workbook, the prayer journal, which has it in section with like 3 or 4 pages, breaks down your family, breaks down, and you can put 150 names down and then go back over and pray. And when people get saved, and depending whether it's you that go or you invite them or an event, in some cases my family out in California couldn't get to them, God answered prayer by moving on a believer out there that then went to my little brother that engaged, and ultimately through others he got saved. And that's how God works. And God is working through your prayer life. He's working powerfully by his power, and he'll work through you launching out. You will win people to Jesus. You will pray for people to be healed, and you're going to see healing. You're going to be able to learn and engage anything demonic on any level and be able to expel that and get rid of that in Jesus' name by his authority. You're going to see God guide and see God lead and have great rejoicing. You might meet a hungry person and feed them in Jesus' name, or a homeless. And we're there to help on all these levels. We really are. So update right now in the middle of all this, getting prepared in a week to that next section of audios after this week, after this section, you're going to be jumping into the verse-by-verse study. So I'm still going to encourage you to go pour into the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, Gospel of John. And just, again, just pouring in and looking at Jesus, remembering Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And just keep looking at him and watching him and seeing him, because he turns around to the disciples and begins to tell them, you do this. That's like Luke 10, where he launches all those believers out to do. Gospel, healing, deliverance, those are the three central issues. There in Luke 10, it's the central issues in Mark chapter 1, what Jesus does. So in the next audio, we're going to go over Matthew 28 and the Great Commission. It is the greatest commission. In the face of everything going on in your life, everything going on in the world, all the big things that can, you know, again, let's not let the world distract us, nor the flesh pull us back, nor the enemy try to stop us. With the victories over the world, the flesh, and the devil in Christ, with all that he gives us, with this day, the day the Lord has made, his mercies are new every morning, right? We go to launch again this day, pouring out the prayers in advance, and seeing God, his hand, you know, his hand stretch out in intervention and by his power. So if you're an active believer, the works of Jesus will be done through prayer, through witnessing, through prayer for healing, through ministering, and down the road, through giftings and all the other things God's going to do. And never forget his words, I am with you always to the end of the age. See you in the next audio.